You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. Tiki Barber.
Got the first down to the 10, to the 5, fighting! Touchdown, Tiki!
Brandon Tierney.
One colossal mistake that Tom Thibodeau's done this year. He has treated an intermittently good player like a superstar, and that's Julius Randle.
Tiki and Tierney on the Fan, 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Yo, what's happening? Tiki, by the way, for the record here, I would like to let everybody know that our handoff from Boomer and Geo the last 2 days has consisted of boner pills and anal swabs. I'm almost afraid to ask what the hell we're going to walk into tomorrow. What's happening, everybody? Tiki and Tierney, let's go inside the Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get guaranteed lowest prices on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I'm going to give you a quick heads up. Then we get right into the Giants with Dan Quinn as a distinct possibility being their new head coach. Sweeney Murdy told us yesterday that Aaron Judge is not a priority for the Yankees, and that's something Tiki and I will circle back to later. But Dan Quinn, how you feeling about this,
you
Mr.
know what?
Giant?
I like Dan Quinn. I've had many conversations with him on our previous show. I think he's largely remembered for one of the worst Super Bowl meltdowns, maybe the worst Super Bowl meltdown ever, the 28-3 come-from-behind loss, or I guess you could say come-from-ahead loss against the New England Patriots, where Kyle Shanahan, who's now the head coach of the 49ers, decided he didn't want to run the football to run out the clock in the second half and allowed Tom Brady, with possessions and time on the clock because of the incompletions, to come back and win that football game. And then the last couple of years in Atlanta, he just struggled. They had a ton of injuries on defense, and it felt like he just didn't have it. Now, a lot of it wasn't his fault, but it felt like he didn't have it because of the injuries in Atlanta. But then he resurrected himself last season in Dallas. He goes down to Dallas. It was a cluster down there with their defense, as we all remember from 2 seasons ago, not this past season. And this year, they were great, at least in the turnover department. Opportunistic. They led the league in turnovers. They led the league in turnover differential. They were just really good on defense. Interceptions, they led the league in as well. And Dan Quinn will get a lot of credit for that. But if I'm a Giant fan, the question you got to ask yourself, and we said this from the very beginning of this GM / head coach search, and we'll get to the GMs in a little bit here, BT, is the guy that you hire going to make you feel like you can win a championship in 3 to 5 years? And I'm not sure Dan Quinn is that guy for the New York Giants. Now, he might be able to win a championship in 3 to 5 years, but in your mind, are you saying, yes, Dan Quinn is the guy that's going to win us a championship like Jim Harbaugh would? Or
my Jim hasn't won any.
I know, but at least in your
Jim
mind.
Jim also had a little bit of a collapse in the Super Bowl.
He had a 4-yard collapse.
I understand.
By the way,
that
it was Greg Roman. Could he have overruled?
But what was the score when the lights went out? They were getting waxed, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were getting knocked around a little bit there.
All I remember is
or was
the last.
It the other way? They didn't play well in the Super Bowl for half the game.
I just remember the last
half.
Series.
Yeah, yeah, with the Fates.
Which was Greg Roman not getting the ball to
Frank Gore. They kept throwing the Fates to Crabtree here.
So, yes, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I like Jim, but Jim, and by the way, Jim's not coming here.
He's not coming here.
Giant fans need to let go of that
pipe dream. But my point is, if Jim Harbaugh comes to the New York Giants, in your mind, you're going, yes, great head coach, done it in college, done it in the NFL, made Alex Smith into this, he turned Colin Kaepernick into that. I believe that he can come here and do this.
Finally beat the Buckeyes.
That's right. Whoever it may be, it's got to be somebody who is, you're not going to doubt in your mind that he can win a championship. Now, Dan Quinn is not actually that guy.
No.
You're not going to really doubt him, but Giants fans aren't going to love it.
I like it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say I think it's a home run grand slam. It's not an A+. You know, I'd say it's a B+. And with the right general manager who actually knows how to draft and structure a team, maybe that B+ turns into an A.
Yeah.
Listen, he's a local guy. He's from Morristown. You know, he's with the Jets for a couple of years, coach of the D-line. You reference the success with Seattle. You know, you look at the... And you could run through the minutiae of not every stop. We don't care about every stop, but the things that we would illuminate from his resume. DC with Seattle, great success.
Legion of Boom, we all remember that.
No doubt. Head coach with Atlanta, great success, even though they fell short, 23, but they got there. DC with Dallas, completely remade, a horrendous unit. Good personality, which is obviously
great personality.
It's important that we love him.
Local guy, which means absolutely nothing, but people will talk about.
Well, you know what, though? It means that not that every local person has great interpersonal skills, but Dan Quinn's a guy, and it matters in this town. Adam Gase was a mutant.
Yeah. I think what you're trying to say, though, you have to understand how New York media is going to treat you and how the fans are going to respond to you.
And Dan Quinn knows that because he's from Morristown, New Jersey.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, and we've talked to him, and we like him.
What if he grew up a Giants fan or a Jets fan?
He had to be a Giants fan.
It's Morristown. It's right around the corner. Morristown, they had training camp at Fairleigh Dickinson.
So what?
I guarantee you he was a Giants
fan. One of my best
up.
Friends lives in Morristown. He's a Jets fan.
That's because the Jets are now in Florham Park. Did he grow up in Morristown?
And he grew up in Rockland County, this kid, too, by the way. I got you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the Giants, just to give some context here, the Giants aren't going to hire Dan Quinn. They're interviewing him, and it's like, oh, my God, are they going to hire Dan Quinn? They're not going to hire Dan Quinn.
Oh, so it's a complete waste of time, what we just discussed?
No, Dan Quinn is being interviewed because I'm assuming that Ryan Poles and Joe Shane and Adam Peters, who are the three finalists for the general manager job, have told the Giants, because they asked this question, who's on your list for head coaches? And Dan Quinn was probably on one, if not all three, of those lists because of the job that he did in Dallas and obviously the previous history that we were just alluding to. So don't get it twisted that the Giants are going to hire the head coach before they hire the GM.
Yes, good point.
Because I'm starting to see some of that out there.
That's a laziness right there.
Exactly. The Giants just need to get ahead of this process because they can't go another week and a half, 2 weeks to hire their head coach.
I think they named their general manager by the weekend.
I think it's
happening in the next day or so.
I think you're right.
And Tiki, that's an outstanding point because you start to see, and listen, I understand, you know, people have real jobs, not that they don't want to see the Giants do well. Of course they do. But maybe they're not following this like you and I are, and they're like, well, you're going to hire the coach before you hire the GM. What are all these rumblings about?
Same
the
Giants mistakes.
Yeah, they haven't really changed. I thought they were changing. No, they are. I mean, what you need to know is that Dan Quinn's already interviewed with Denver and the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's already happened. The Bears and the Dolphins will transpire later this week.
Yep.
And now, as Tiki said again, what the Giants are doing, they asked the three gentlemen who are on the shortlist for GM candidacies, and one is with the Bills, who we like, Joe Shane, Poles from Kansas City, Adam Peters from the Niners. And by the way, Peters has a relationship pre-existing from his Pats days with Brian Flores, so there's a little connection there. And there's no doubt, they ran Dan Quinn, just like I'm sure they ran, you know, Flores' name and everybody else that they like internally, the Giants. Hey, if we hire you, would you think about Dan Quinn?
Yeah.
And if one of them didn't like Dan Quinn, I don't think that would necessarily rule them out from GM candidacy for the Giants, but this is not a sloppy search. I think the Giants are running a very good search, but I want to get back to something you said here. Like, all right, Giant fans wouldn't be enthralled with the hire. I got it. And you want to win the press conference, although that's only a temporary fix, right? Like a little high and then it dissipates.
Mm-hmm.
There is no home run hire. Because as much as, and you're right, that Jim Harbaugh would galvanize Giant fans. Jim has no Super Bowls, none. Nope. Brian Flores, none. I'll tell you the one guy, you're going to talk to Doug Peterson? Doug Peterson's actually got a Super Bowl.
No,
so
right.
Who is the guy, Teak? And I'm legitimately asking you, who is the guy that you think would be the perfect candidate encapsulating, you know, personality, Super Bowl pedigree, whatever else you're looking for. Who is that guy for the Giants?
So Dan Quinn is interesting because we remember the number one deep, the Legion of Boom. They won the Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. And then 2 years later, he goes and he becomes the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Those defenses, maybe one of them finished in the top 10. One. Mm-hmm. In his 6-8 years there, one of them finished in the top 10.
But so, were they 27th or were they 13th,
14, 15th? 27, 8. That was the top 10. 25, 23, 23, 19. Yeah. And last year he got the Cowboys up to number 7. So, I mean, we can't oversell the success that he's had as a defensive coordinator because in Seattle – you got to remember that was a changing of the construction of defenses.
What, big corners, you mean? Stuff like that.
6'1" corners.
Well, Browner was 6'4", I think.
Yep. Getting in your grill.
Yeah.
We're going to let you catch the ball in front of us and you're going to pay for it. Like, it was just a different mentality, the defense that not a lot of teams had seen, and they hadn't competed with offensive schemes yet.
So, and Hall of Famers, by the way.
And most of them. You're absolutely right, BT. And so I think the defensive prowess is something that you get excited about when you talk about Dan Quinn, but it hasn't been consistent over. You know, the 12 years, or the 9 years that he's been a DC and a head coach in the NFL. And so to answer your question, I said this last week, BT, and I'm going to stick with it because I want my GM tied to my head coach in a working relationship. And so the Joe Shane and the Brian Daboll combo just feels like it makes so much sense to me.
Yep.
Now, I know that defense is I don't know, it's what we want to talk about, but offense is winning in the NFL these days. If you don't have an innovative offense, if you don't have a quarterback who's either had grew up with the pedigree and through high school and college and even his first couple of years in the NFL of being a great, and if you don't have that, you got to have a coach that's going to craft him into that, you're just not winning. Look at the teams that are left in the playoffs this year. Think of the quarterbacks.
Well, the Bucs have a dynamic offense or they have Tom Brady?
Well,
they got Tom Brady.
They have both, actually. Because BT,
Mike Evans, they got studs.
Mike Evans is a tactician. And how he climbs his routes and how he gets himself open, he's not a blazer.
But I'm saying, what's so dynamic about that? Like, they just tried out great players and Brady delivers.
Well, that's fine.
Not innovative.
So there's two ways to win on offense. It's either via scheme, which is what Kyle Shanahan tries to do, or it's just having better talent, which is what the Kansas City Chiefs have done for so many years, right? And I think teams are catching up, by the way, which is why I would say the Bills actually have the advantage here, despite being on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. So it's either through scheme, like the 49ers, we see all this misdirections, you know, zip motion, orbit motions, handoffs to the wide receiver. Hell, the tight end even gets involved in running plays and as a runner in some senses with George Kittle. Or you win just by having superior talent. Guess what? Travis Kelce is faster than your cornerbacks. He's faster than your safeties. And he's bigger than any of these guys. Tyreek Hill is just a joystick out there. Patrick Mahomes can create plays out of nowhere. Right? So you either do it by scheme or you do it by having superior talent. And I think Brian Daboll, to me, is one of those scheme guys. You're starting to see it in this offense over the last couple of years in Buffalo. It's 3 wide. You have a tight end who's dynamic and Dawson Knox. You got Emmanuel Sanders out there and Diggs and Cole Gabriel. Beasley and Gabriel. Like, there's so much talent, right? But it's mostly scheme. And I love that about Daboll. So he's in my mind as the top. But I can understand why people are thinking, we got to change this up. We've had offensive coaches in New York really since Parcells.
Every single coach since Bill Parcells, outside of the Spags, you know, a little interim run there, has been a defensive background head coach.
That's right.
877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney here on The Fan. I just find it interesting. We'll get to these calls and I'm with you. I think Daboll's going to be the guy. I'm probably a little bit more open to Quinn maybe than some, and we'll find out in a moment. But, you know, we're talking about Daboll, and I know you're not doing this, but, you know, Daboll could be a D+, you know, without Josh Allen or without McDermott or whatever.
He could.
But here we are. We're nitpicking against a guy who actually lost to the Super Bowl to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, saying he's not good enough because he lost to Tom Brady and Bill and how they lost because his offensive coordinator forgot to run the ball. Yeah. I like Dan Quinn.
And he won a Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator for the Seahawks.
I like Dan Quinn. I don't think he'll be the guy, but I like him. All right. Sonny in Malvern apparently does not. And Sonny is on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. Sonny, what's going on, buddy? How are you today?
Guys, much appreciated. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Listen, Dan Quinn, and I think I speak. I have a pretty good pulse of a lot of Giant fans, and I'm talking about old school Giant fans, you know, guys in their 50s, 60s, 40s. Absolutely not. Dan Quinn had some really good teams in Atlanta. He had only two winning seasons out of six.
Yep.
I think he was 43 and 42. And, guys, you cannot get past, and Tiki, thank you for that opening, because everybody remembers, you cannot get past, and that's in everybody's head, up 28-3.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots had a 1% chance of winning that game, and the Atlanta Falcons blow it. And that's all on the head coach.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't calling the plays, but he oversees those plays. And I think they said, why did you keep passing the ball? He said he did not want to beat the Patriots. He wanted to embarrass them. And that is not a great head coach. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
He is not going to be.
Sonny, let me run something by here.
And Sonny, that's a good point, though, because you got to know that Bill Belichick is never trying to embarrass anybody. He just wants to beat you. Period.
No, I think Belichick tried to step on a few people this year.
He tried
to embarrass the Jets, as a matter of fact, when they tried to score 60
on
us.
Well, that's because he knew that he could.
Well, then let's not say that he never tries to embarrass anybody, because that's not correct.
I'm talking about to win Super Bowls.
When it comes
to the ultimate prize,
Bill
Belichick, if we're beating you by a field goal with no time on the clock, then I know I got my kicker. It's going to kick a field. He's going to make, I can line up for 60 to whatever, 25 to 60. He's making that kick.
He doesn't get wrapped up in the aesthetics of
the
victory. No, I would agree. Agree with that, but the one thing about this notion that, you know, head coaches can't get better with their second job. I mean, one of the issues among myriad issues with Adam Gase was that he got fired in Miami and he got sucked up right away.
Yeah,
without a chance to look in the mirror.
Same thing with Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan with Buffalo, self-evaluate. Tap into a weakness. And listen, you and I've referenced with you a lot. When Rick Carlisle got fired by the Pistons, he went on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And the knock on Rick was he wasn't great with people.
Yeah.
And, you know I know Rick pretty well from back in the day in Detroit. And Rick would walk, and I loved Rick, but around the building, he wasn't into small talk with the receptionist, wasn't a great people person. Suddenly he was on TV, and the whole aura changed. And he repackaged himself, and he's had a great career since, and he's still coaching. Don't tell me that, I guess what I'm saying is I don't agree with the thought that the 28-3 should be the final nail in his coffin, because I do believe smart people evolve.
I don't disagree with that, BT.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. I still don't think he'll be hired, but let's get Joe, who is in East Brunswick, and Joe is on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. Joe.
Hey, what's doing, guys? Doing a great job. I'm glad you're on the Fan. Since the first of the year, everything's great since the 30 of the year. You guys are unbelievable.
Appreciate you,
Something
Joe.
Good midday.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. What's up, pal?
You're just talking about Belichick. I don't think Quinn's the guy. There aren't a lot of opportunities. Belichick looks like he's – when you saw him last week, I don't know if he was pissed off or he's just frustrated up in New England.
Oh, here we go.
Is it possible that the Giants could come up with some scheme to bring him here as a GM? Maybe he wants to be done with Quinn.
I mean –
And with that
– Here we go.
With that, bring Josh McDaniels along.
Joe,
now you got.
I've said this, Tiki. Why don't you take this? Because I've said
Joe,
this for a week straight.
No, but Joe's direction is a tad bit different than what you were espousing. You were saying bring in Bill Belichick to be the head coach and just let him have all the power.
Well, but that also a succession plan in place where he eventually moves to the front office and he runs the Giants until he's about 80.
So it's interesting what he just said. So first of all, it's not happening. Bill Belichick is not coming to the New York Giants. If he was 5 years younger, I believe it would be a possibility. If we were having this conversation right after Tom Coughlin got fired, before they hired Ben McAdoo and then Pat Shermer and then Joe Judge. Exactly. Then maybe Bill Belichick at 64 years old would have said, you know what? That's appealing to me. I love the New York Giants. I want to go fix the New York Giants. I want to take the time. It might take 3 or 4 years to remake the entirety of this team, from the roster to the coaching staff, through the scouting department, like all of that. Get the philosophies how I wanted, how I built it for 2 decades in New England. I'd do that. But now it's too late. It's not going to happen at 70 years old. He doesn't have the energy, and I know that for a fact. So the question becomes, would he just
ask.
What, he was doctor? What do you mean? You know the energy level. What is?
I've just heard it.
Charts?
No, I've just heard it.
What does that mean?
You know
that for a fact?
I just know.
How do you know it for a fact?
Because I talk to people who tell me that.
How do they know for a fact?
Because they've talked to him.
Are they his doctor?
No. But here's the thing.
The energy level.
Not energy level.
Pumping through his veins? I don't understand that.
Do you know how long it takes to remake an entire organization?
Yeah, I've seen the Jets try to do it my entire life.
Exactly. How long has it taken?
My entire life.
Exactly. So are the Giants going to – is Bill Belichick going to do that for the next 10 years?
With two top 10 picks, maybe.
For the next 10 years.
No, 10 years is ambitious.
So I'm just saying. But so that brings up an interesting point that Joe, which I'm trying to get to, that if Bill Belichick were to say, I'm done with coaching. I just want to be the GM and the Giants are the place I want to go to. He'd come here and he'd need a coach. And Josh McDaniels sounds like an interesting one. First of all, I think Josh McDaniels wants to stay exactly where he is and succeed Bill Belichick when he retires. He wants to be the head coach of the New England Patriots. That's why he kept going back every time he would go someplace else or fail or deke someone out, Indianapolis Colts, and come back to the New England Patriots. But the question would become, if Bill Belichick is the GM and Josh McDaniels is the head coach, this is of the Giants.
I'm listening.
Who's actually the head coach of the New York Giants?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be
Josh McDaniels. That was a long way to shoot down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You just suggested, Joe.
Which you shot down when I said it the other day as well. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. Let's face it, Giants have a lot to fix. And by that, there's probably no real true Grand Slam candidate. So who are you looking for? Because there's a lot of good ones, all right? So, you know, characteristics. Are you, you know, maybe predisposed to go back to defense? We always talk about and probably romanticize, like, oh, the Yankees need left-handed bats, which, by the way, is true. Hopefully Cashman gets all of his behind and actually gets some. And I don't mean Gallo, who strikes out two times a game, guys who actually make contact.
The left field porch is only four
feet longer.
4 feet longer.
It's the left field gap that I always tell you about, Clown. You always bring that up, but it's a big difference. It's that valley out there.
I know. That's
and he'll probably get Olsen anyway from the A's. But point being, you know, the Yankees need lefty sticks, and the Giants are rooted in defense. Linebackers run the ball, stuff like that. So maybe it's time to go back to a defensive coach, but to your point, maybe the game has changed so much that that's the wrong way to view it. It's a bit of an antiquated prism. What exactly are you looking for in the Giants' next coach? 877-337-6666. All right, 877-337-6666. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney on the Fan. Tiki and Tierney here. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Bottom line is this, before we get back to these phones, hammer them, get your thoughts on the Giants' search, which for me, while it clearly doesn't guarantee ultimate success, you don't know until it's actually in front of us and that it works or it doesn't. So far, I think most people would agree with this assertion. The Giants are doing everything right thus far with their GM head coaching search. It's been on point. It's been very extensive. They seem to have the right names in the mix.
Yeah.
I like the way they're handling
you're
this.
You're saying it right. They're doing it the right. They have the right names. They're going through the protocol the
yes.
right way as it pertains to the Rooney Rule.
Yep.
There are three GM candidates. Ryan Poles, who was an African-American from the Chiefs. He was the director of college scouting. Joe Shane, who you've heard most about, who was with the Buffalo Bills under Billy Beane, the assistant general manager. And then Adam Peters, who's coming from the 49ers. He was also the assistant assistant general manager to John Lynch. But all guys who are youngish and have done a really good job over the last few drafts of finding some steals, like George Kittle,
yep.
who's a fifth-round pick, or Elijah Mitchell, who was a sixth-round pick.
Running back, Niners,
back,
yep.
Who were both dominating. So both the all of these GM candidates have some pretty good ticks on their resume.
Yeah, it's not like they're GMs, or pardon me, assistant GMs of these fading organizations,
That's
and
right.
you're kind of latching on to what they did like 3 years ago. These are ascending. I don't know if you could say that the Chiefs are ascending, but the Bills are ascending, the Niners are ascending, and the Chiefs, even if they're not moving up, they're kind of lateral, but
yeah.
they're at a high spot.
That's exactly right.
So I'm with you. 877-337-6666. Anthony's in Smithtown on the Fan. Anthony, how you doing today, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
What's up,
dude? Anthony?
Who you want?
Tiki, I'm a big fan, and I just love hearing your opinion on everything.
Appreciate you, man. I thank you.
I think Brian Flores is a great option for the Giants. One, he's from New York, born.
Yep.
Two, he was in the pro scouting department at, I think, with New England.
That's right, early.
Three, he coached under Bill Belichick.
Well, that might be a negative.
I know they haven't done well. These coaches under Bill Belichick.
But Joe Judge,
he actually. I mean, maybe he's done the best. To be honest with you, right?
Saban was okay with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I guess so. But that doesn't necessarily
no,
matter
because
that
you.
Was early Bill Belichick. But yeah, keep going. Go ahead.
And four, he has head coaching experience already.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think this is it.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Flores, Anthony, that's a good call, and I appreciate you. But Brian Flores, for those who don't know his background, at a very young age, he was a scout, 25 years old, with the New England Patriots. He'd been in the Patriots organization until he took the head coaching job, so all this with the Patriots. So he was a scouting assistant, a pro scout, then he worked on special teams, then he became a defensive assistant, became the second the safeties coach, and then the linebackers coach, de facto GM, when went to the Detroit Lions. I'm forgetting his name now.
Campbell?
No, the
Patricia.
When Patricia went to the Lions, he became the de facto defensive coordinator for the Patriots, even though he was the linebackers coach, and obviously he was the head coach. So he's done everything from a management standpoint, which is actually important for, I think, any head coach who hasn't, you know, has only been head coach for 3 years, but he's seen it all.
By the way, you guys will notice this will happen. This will happen fairly frequently where Teak will be reaching for a name, and I'm listening with one ear to my partner, but I'm also looking at the call screen, and I'll just start, and I kind of know what team he's talking about because I heard it, and I'll just start blurting names out. And hopefully I get him either I trigger something in his
That's
mind
right.
that he gets it, or
That's
I get right. it on the second or third try. Let's get Richie, who's in Pleasantville, and Richie's on the Fan with Teaky and Tierney. Rich, what's going on, Rich?
Hey, Teaky, Tierney, how you doing?
Rich.
We're good, Rich. What's up, dude?
Sorry to get that you can only be a fan of New York, one New York team started and gone.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm a Virginian.
Anyway,
I don't take offense, even though I can be an ass like New Yorkers do. Go ahead, man.
Anyway, you mentioned, do you know how long it takes to rebuild an organization? And I was thinking, I'm a Jets fan. When I was growing up, I saw Kotite go 1-15 and Parcells immediately turn the organization over.
9-7 the next year.
Went, 9-7, and then a playoff appearance in the AFC Championship against the Broncos. Shanahan, if I'm correct.
Yep, 98, AFC Championship game. We were up at the half. Yep. Blake Spence blocked the punt. Curtis ran it in from 1 yard. Vinny hit his first 7 passes. We should have won that game. You're right. But Rich, here's the thing. I think that, and I'll let you finish for sure. I think that, and I know both of those teams very well. I think that spoke more about Kotite's, I don't want to disrespect, like Kotite's lack of football acumen than it did actually about Parcells' brilliance. We know Parcells was brilliant, but that Jets team that went 1-15 of the year before that, by the way, 3-13, actually had decent talent.
Yeah.
They had decent players. Kotite was just maybe the worst coach in the history of sports.
Okay, well then what about Rex Ryan taking over from Mangini, who actually did okay, Mangini, but Rex Ryan made the Jets defense a force. And with Mark Sanchez as a rookie quarterback,
made back-to-back two AFC championships. Yeah, Look at what the Bengals are doing right now with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Once they got those two pieces, and they went from a number one draft pick to now they just won their first playoff game.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I mean,
so much of it is talent.
Rich.
I mean, it's a combination. Like, it's too easy to just say, well, you get the right head coach, things are going to work out. You get the right GM, things are going to work out. You got to have the right GM, the right head coach, and really good talent, right? That 3-13 co-tight team, BT.
Yeah,
that I was just looking at it. And I was like, all right,
Mo Lewis,
exactly.
Yeah,
Aaron Glenn
is a corner, right? Young kid out of A&M.
Marvin Jones,
Shade like, Tree from FSU.
It was a lot.
Adrian Morrell was a good running back before we got Curtis.
Hugh Douglas was on that team.
A lot of sacks.
There was a ton of talent on that team.
I know.
And so what you can clearly see,
I know,
that there was a disconnect between coach,
yes,
and players, because the talent subsequently proved to be really good.
Yes.
So it was a coaching thing. So the problem with the Giants, and I think that's why he originally called, is that the talent is inferior right now, right? The coaching has not been on par, up to snuff, and the general manager hasn't done enough to populate the roster with good enough players. And so the rebuild takes time when you have three levels. This is why 3 weeks ago when we started the show, or 2 weeks ago when we started the show, I said the Giants are in the worst situation in football right now, because all three levels of the formula for success are broken, right?
Talking about talent, talking about
talent,
leadership,
coaching,
and salary cap.
Salary cap, general, like all of it,
yeah,
was just broken.
Yeah.
Like for the Jets that he was talking about, oh, well, you know, Parcells comes in and you had great talent. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So you
and
had
by
half
Vinny,
the battle.
Vinny didn't start week one. Glenn Foley started the first couple games that year.
True.
When we lost that game of the opener in 90...
Kind of forgot Glenn Foley.
Glenn Foley from BC in 98. That was at San Francisco. I referenced this game the other day. Garrison Hurst, the big run. Mo Lewis kind of whiffed a little bit down the sideline. Glenn Foley started that game. And then Glenn Foley started the next game. I think it was against the Ravens. And we were 0-2. And then we played the Colts, I want to say the home opener. And we beat them like 44 to whatever it was. And Vinny started getting some reps. And then we went, you know, and Vinny was Vinny. And he had like 27 touchdowns, 7 picks. Last caller, and we should have beat the Broncos and probably should have, we would have killed the Falcons that year. Caller brought up Mangini, right? See, that is an example, and it just hit, I know we got a break, but it just hit me really quick. Like, to me, that is a perfect example of why the Belichick tree does not work. And I'm going to give you it in 30 seconds. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was at the other station, we had Mangini on the show, okay? And I would interview Mangini.
When he was coaching the Jets, I would interview him every week.
We would tape it, right? And for whatever reason, it doesn't even matter, but we would tape it. And just me, nobody else. And I would sit in a production studio, and I'd get to, you know, chop it up and BS with Eric for a good 3, 4, 5, big baseball fan. About 3, 4, 5 minutes before we'd say, all right, coach, you ready to go? Coming down 3, 2, 1. And, you know, he used to dip, and I used to, we talk about dipping, we talk about music, we talk about everything. The guy was so cool. And then you see him on TV, which he does a lot of now. He's actually a pretty cool guy. He was in The Sopranos. But when he became the coach, he felt compelled to act like Belichick. This clandestine, personality-less, for lack of a better description, dolt.
Yeah.
And I really liked Eric.
Yeah.
And I thought if Eric was Eric because he knew football, Mangini would have been a hell of a coach. And all these Patriot proteges, they all think they've got to act like Belichick, and that's what kills them.
That's right. And that's
every
what that's what Tua, who now, you know, Stephen Ross of the Miami Dolphins, chose Tua for the short term over Brian Flores.
Yeah.
Tua basically said he doesn't know how to talk to people.
Correct. Like Coughlin didn't back in the day, but
right.
He changed that.
He did.
So we would think that Flores could change that. He's a smart guy, and
totally.
He's from here. He'll change it if he gets the gig. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. We've got hope. We've got optimism. We've got faith. We've got belief. We've got conviction that the Giants will get this right. Because the Giants' search so far has been on point.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I believe, a bit of a galvanizing feel for Giant fans, because you know that it's been sloppy for a while. The end of the Joe Judge era was a mess. The entire McAdoo era was a mess. Well, no, actually, not the 1 year.
Yeah.
At the end was a complete mess. Shermer was lost. Ownership has been lost. Giving out medium sodas to try to placate you. It has been a disgraceful ride for a while. But it finally feels like at least the Giants are on the rails to getting back to being the Giants, which is what we all want. Let's get Dave, who's in Cranford. And Dave is on the Fan. What up, Dave?
Hey, BT and Tiki. you know what? I just wanted to mention a quick story because I've had the pleasure of meeting both of you and Tiki, you know, all these people calling in, telling these great stories about meeting you and how great you are with people out in public. And it's all true.
Appreciate
I've experienced
you,
it firsthand.
Got a boy,
it's Tiki. All true. But I also had a situation, gosh, goes back a number of years ago, where I was in Midtown and two or three of my buddies, we were sitting at a bar, and at the end of the bar was this guy that, you know, kind of is a big dude and kind of like stands out a little bit. And we're like, man, is that guy Tierney? Like, is that guy Tierney? And it was him, and he was waiting for some of his buddies. And so, you know, we didn't want to bother him. He seemed like he was just enjoying his drink, being quiet. He probably, you know, didn't get much quiet for the day. And so, but one of us was just like, hey, you know, big fan, you know, just wanted to say hey. And he responded right away. We got into a whole conversation on I think the Knicks at the time. I forget what it was exactly.
I'm sure.
His friends show up, and then we all go to leave, and our whole first round of drinks were covered by this guy.
See, that's and what I'm saying, Dave.
And he picked up. So I just want to balance out because I and Tiki, it's not negative to you because there's been so many like we love Tiki stories.
Yeah.
I had to throw out that real story with BT.
Hey, that's honest to God,
true story.
I appreciate. I was starting to feel a little inadequate. Listen, I know the guy was a great player, but
Dave,
I'm a nice guy as well.
Dave,
I
love BT.
Man. I treat people well.
BT taught me how to teach my kid baseball.
That's right.
Because I knew Jack.
Okay. I know you, Tink, you guys together, the chemistry between the two of you is great. So let me get to my point.
Tiki,
you said, you know, Schoen and Daboll, and that's probably where I'm leaning the most myself.
Yeah,
I like that connection. And I think that connection's a real. I think the connection between the GM and the head coach is going to be, you know, extremely critical. The interesting part to me is I'm not also, you know, against like someone like Dan Quinn. Mm-hmm. On either one of those coaching hires, my first big question on different for each of them, right? So if it's Daboll, I want to hear him talk about who he's bringing in as his D coordinator.
Yeah.
Well, they're smart enough to keep Pat Graham.
Dave, let me throw Patrick Graham's an asset. But Dave, thanks for the call. Go ahead, T.
That's a good call, by the way, and I'll address the Pat Graham side. I know that the Giants love Patrick Graham. He was there before.
Yep.
And now he's back again. The defense showed significant strides. The defensive back coach, Jerome Henderson, did a really good job with some of those guys. You saw some advancement from Xavier McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they had injuries, right? They had all these guys were hurt on the defensive side of the ball, and so they were young. But you saw them start to get better. It's not beyond question that they might hold on to Patrick Graham.
Well, I got a question for you. I actually have two questions for you. The first one we could knock out in 15 seconds because the first thing that the caller brought up about, you know, being nice to people, is there an expiration on, like, if we're doing the show together 9, 10, 12 years from now on The Fan, 15, 20, oh, Tiki, I loved you back in the day. You read to my son in school. Well, do I have to hear this forever?
Yeah,
I mean, when
do
we stop hearing about this?
BT,
I don't know if I want to hear it forever.
Well, you know what they say. It's all about how you make people feel.
I know you're a good guy. Right? I've been with you for 9 years. Do I have to hear it for the next 20?
Yep.
I don't know if I might have to overrule you on that. All right, here's my point about Daboll, which I think is really interesting that nobody's really brought up. And I know you know a lot about Ken Dorsey.
Yeah.
And Tiki has told me for years, hey, BT, yes, the coaching name matters, but what staff are you bringing with you? I know the Bills are very high on Ken Dorsey.
Huge.
Who's their passing game coordinator, the quarterback's coach as well. Daboll has helped unleash Josh Allen, but so has Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey is the OC. Does that make sense for you? Would you like that?
So you're right, BT, and I say this for every coaching hire that we've ever discussed on our show.
Yeah.
Going back, you know, 9 years talking about college coaches or talking about NFL coaches. Who you bringing? Joe Judge could have been the greatest coach in the world if he would have had a great staff. He didn't have a good staff, right? I think we over romanticize what a head coach is going to do. He talks to the entirety of the team. He creates a direction. He creates a philosophy and maybe the culture. But he's got to be real. That's the whole Bill Belichick thing. People will look through the Bill Belichick wannabes. But so you got to be real, right? But at the end of the day, it's the running back coach who's teaching you how to carry the football correctly, pick up this, you know what gap to the backers coming in, the defensive linemen. How do you run this TE game? You know, what are the stunts that were? It's like the intimacy of the assistants that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And for Brian Daboll and Ken Dorsey, they are the perfect combo for a quarterback. And I only know this because I did the Bills game and I talked to Jordan Palmer, who is
the quarterback guru,
he's Carson's brother, but he's also a coach. Like, he coaches a lot of these kids coming out of school.
Josh Allen's one of them, by the way.
Allen was one of them. So yeah. I talked to Jordan just to, like, how did this happen? Because we know what he did at Wyoming didn't translate to the NFL. Like, how did you guys do this, man? And he said it was because the combo was perfect. Obviously, he got some pre-draft and pre-NFL tutoring from Jordan, but he gets to Buffalo, and Brian Daboll is just ball of energy, right? He's got like all these different ideas. He's like engaging. You want to be dudes with him, right? He's like a guy's guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's smart. He has like all these high level ideas. And then Ken Dorsey is like this tape nerd, and this guy who's like, all right, we're going to look at this little detail on this drop. We're filming everything that you do. You know what? You stepped wrong that time. Let's go back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's just like this high low combo with the head coach, or in this case, the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach, that allowed Josh Allen to turn into this really great player. And like, we don't talk about that combo enough. Right, because we get enamored with who's the head coach. You got to talk a little bit more about the details that are going to happen once the head coach is hired.
877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. A little later, we'll get into something Sweeney Murdy dropped on the show yesterday. Any chance that, and not just the Mets, any chance somebody prized Aaron Judge away from the Yankees? According to Sweeney, the Yankees, in terms of how they view Aaron Judge contractually, not even a remote priority right now. We'll get to that a little later. Tiki and Tierney up until 2 on the Fan. That it's Carton Roberts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.